Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You
yo,
are now
fucker.
Tune in now, Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. Where the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind and by the devil. It's the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fucker name and the fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 119. It's been a while. Thanks for joining us again. It's been a crazy 2 weeks since the last podcast episode, actually. When was the last time? March 6th is when I actually fought Piotr Jan. It's been quite the experience with like social media, notoriety from friends and stuff like that, and obviously some fans, and then the hate from some fans and stuff like that. So it's been quite a mixture of things, but all in all, it's all good, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm in a great position. I am in the driver's seat in terms of my future. So just give you guys a quick update. Obviously, it's been a while since you guys heard from me. There's been a lot that has been going on behind the scenes. A lot of people think, or the trolls think, that I'm ducking a rematch when I was the one who texted Dana on a hospital bed that I want to run it back ASAP. But unfortunately, I was under morphine when I did say that. And I didn't realize the situation that my body was actually in terms of my neck. And that's really the main thing. So long story short, I got everything checked out and they checked my old MRI from, I think last year, September. Yeah, because I was supposed to fight Jan in December. So I think it was last year, September. I could be completely wrong. Could be even older than that. Because I can't remember when the last time I actually got the MRI done on my neck to see how the disc and everything are doing. And when they checked, this doctor's different doctor from the other ones said he's surprised that the UFC PI team has been able to keep me together for this long, which says a lot, man. And I think a lot of credit goes to obviously the PI team. And of course, I think I deserve some type of credit. And this, I don't need a pat on the back from anybody, but in terms of me being able to persevere and push through that kind of pain and still get through as many fights as I have, him looking at it and basing the diagnosis of what he was seeing and what I was telling him, it didn't look good. It looked like I was possibly going to need to get surgery. As of now, as of today, I'm telling you guys, it looks like I may not need the surgery. So when I went to the doctor, I couldn't do a push-up. I couldn't do a pull-up. It hurt to hit pads and catching pads. I just had no strength in my tricep. Like I couldn't give like any resistance because you need that tricep muscle to lock and engage on my left side. And things didn't really, it wasn't looking too good for me. So today, last night and this morning, I was actually able to do 5 push-ups. I got an MRI today. I actually called the UFC medical coordinator who handles like my alphabet letters. And I asked her, I was like, can we just possibly get an MRI on Monday and postpone the surgery just in case I might have actually tore the tricep tendon off the bone and that could possibly be what it is? Because if it's torn, you only have a few weeks before you could actually reattach it. And if you wait too long, it's going to be too shriveled up for you to actually get that tendon to stretch back to where it was before. So I got a little bit nervous of that because I got this burning, radiating pain nonstop, plus the muscle weakness. And I just thought it was the neck. And then I thought a couple of days later, I was like, maybe it's not the neck because this pain is like throbbing. And it was reminiscent of my bicep tendon that I tore off the bone and that hot, radiating pain. And I was like, maybe it's this. So we're going to get that checked out later today, and hopefully we have some good news. And if it is that it's not torn, thank God I won't. I didn't. Maybe it's a sign because the doctor did say, Dr. Watkins Jr. did say, you probably pinched it really bad from the takedown that Jan did, which was when I sat there and let him stood there. You know, I thought about hitting a standing Granby, a standing switch that I hit in wrestling, and were just fighting their hands or just trying to hook his legs and then trying to, because he engaged in a grappling situation where I was just thinking of, I got this option, I got this option. And then I did nothing. And I just stood there and let him pick me up and dump me on my neck. And I was like, all right, I had options A through B, A through D, and I did nothing. I sat there and let him dump me on my neck. So it is what it is. I think that was the biggest strike that he, I think he might have landed. Well, not even a strike. It's not even a strike. The biggest blow that I've taken, even though it didn't hurt in the moment, obviously the residual pains later, but it's more like, well, my neck was already compromised. So then the letting him slam me on my neck didn't do him any favor. Didn't do me any favors. Plus the knee on top of that, compound that, and voila, here I am. So I was able to do my 5 pushups last night, 5 pushups today. I was debating whether or not I was gonna try to work out later tonight. I actually got my hair done like this, the Travis Scott twist, something like the crisscross, something that I did a lot when I was a kid. And I did that with my sister. I had her do it for me because I thought I wasn't gonna be working out for a while. I thought I was gonna get the surgery and I thought I was gonna be in a hermit for 2 weeks. And I was like, let me just get something nice because I'm not gonna sweat it out. Now, I didn't have to put any rubber bands on the ends because I wasn't gonna work out. Now I'm gonna actually try to work out tonight and see how this goes. Hopefully. If not, then tomorrow I'm gonna try to see what I can do. So surgery was actually supposed to be tomorrow in California. So I was supposed to fly out today, do all my pre-op stuff, and then get the surgery done for the artificial disc replacement on Tuesday afternoon. So thankfully I'm in a position where things are getting better, and thank God, because if I can avoid one more time, like postponing the surgery and maybe just strengthening some more stuff with the neck, you know, put your back into it, then maybe I could get through one more fight and get this rematch just finally done and settled and squashed, you know, win, lose, or draw, even though I do think I'm going to kick his ass. I know why I lost. Like I said, people can say whatever they want. I don't need to explain myself anymore. I know what I have to do. And I know what the thing that had me that fatigued so early on, what it was. And if I could keep that first round and second round pace, dude, which I know I can, it's going to be a bad night for Mr. Jan. So if I can keep myself one more time and postpone surgery once again, it puts me in a really good spot, which I am excited about. So if I could get that rematch and just get everything all done, you know, I make a nice payday one more time for the year. And then on top of that, I get pay-per-view points. As long as Uncle Dana doesn't do me dirty and put me on a fight night card, that would not be fun. Just so people understand, people thought I made a lot of money for my last fight. I made a good payday. The pay scale that they release, completely wrong. So disregard that. And for this one, people just keep forgetting, you don't get pay-per-view points payouts unless you are the champion or your name is McGregor. Maybe Masvidal. He might have got a special contract as well, but I don't know. Because he took that fight with Masvidal with Usman after saying he wasn't going to take it until they showed him the money kind of thing. And maybe they paid him extra, or maybe they showed him the money, which was they changed his contract and gave him the pay-per-view points. So for people who don't really realize, yes, I did not get paid out the wazoo for the last fight. This one is going to be the rematch. I am now coming in as a champion. I get a pay bump for winning the fight, whether it was a knockout, disqualification, submission, or decision. It's all the same. A win is a win. Maybe not the most glorified win, but a win is a win, and there are rules for a reason. You can't be mad at the guy who gets fouled in the Super Bowl finals playoffs, and then you win because the guy gave you 15 yards on a personal foul, and then you kick the field goal and you make it. Ha! Guess what? Joke's on you. So rules are the rules for the reason, and I now get pay-per-view points, which puts me in a pretty good situation with this fight, because if it's as big as people are making it seem, which I do think it has a lot of steam behind it, it could be a really nice setup for myself in terms of financial means and just really making this whole run to the UFC all worth it, you know, in terms of winning the belt is one thing, but being able to set yourself up for financial security for the rest of your life is the ultimate, most important thing that you want. So I'm happy about that. So that's where I'm at. And I couldn't be more excited and more appreciative of everything that has happened other than the knee. I could have lived without that. honestly, I think I would have rather test my chances and see if I get my ass kicked for another round, removing the knee, and see if I could actually pull off a Holly Holm, Misha Tate, come back in the fifth round and choke him out in the fifth. So, and keep my brain cells intact. But it is what it is. We're here now, and the only thing you could do is push forward and move forward and hope for a bigger, brighter future. And that's where I'm at in my life and everything right now. As you guys can see, I'm actually wearing the same outfit I wore last night at my mom's house. They did a surprise party for me, which I didn't think it was for me because my sister's name also begins with an A. So when I pulled up to the house, I was there before everybody except my two people. And with two people, which pretty much was everybody. So I was pretty much there before everybody. So I get there. No one's there yet, really. They're finishing up like the cupcakes and stuff. And I'm like, ah, this is so nice. You guys did this for Asset? That's so dope. And then I looked on the wall. My mom was like, Asset. I was like, you don't see what it says? And it says Aljo and balloons. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, I was very happy about that. If you guys check my story with the stuff that my sister was doing when she's making the parody running around the belt. Speaking of, I got this guy right here for all the trolls. I'm gonna pull the bad boy, you know, because, you know, we did earn this. I'm so sinister with this at this point. Just trolling as much as I can. And I saw Spike Lee. Got to go to a Knicks game over the week. Not the weekend. It was Friday. I guess that is kind of the start of the weekend. So I got to go to a Knicks game. Thanks to Armando. Thanks for hooking it up. I'm Sarah BJJ. Got me some tickets. So I got to go down. Got to meet Spike Lee. They put me on the Jumbotron at Madison Square Garden, which I thought was pretty fucking... I keep cursing. Pretty freaking fire. It was dope as hell. You know, so to have that... I thought it was pretty sick, and having Spike Lee come over to me and say, hey, man, where you from? I was like, Long Island. And he's going, Strong Island. I was like, yes, sir. I wanted to tell him, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm a bona fide actor. You know, I'm already starting my career. People saw me in the UFC already, and they thought I'd do pretty good in Hollywood. So I say, why not dabble and try my hand in the acting community? But no, I didn't say that. I didn't actually say that. But this is pretty sick, man. Every time I look at this, I still marvel at it. Like, I still can't believe this is, like, mine. Although it's not the way I want to win, which I will always continue to say. You know, there's a time when I troll and a time I'm being serious. And like I said, I won this in a way that I wasn't too happy about. But at the end of the day, that's history. And I hope to make it right. And what I thought about was, like, if I'm a paper champ, then what is Petr Yan? He got to fight for the belt, beating no one in the top five. So... two paper chance fighting over a piece of paper. Yeah, so we'll figure it out and see who should be number one and then go from there. Super excited, though. Other than, I think that's all my updated news. I haven't trained. I haven't done anything, man. Just looking up some real estate stuff, trying to figure out my next plan of attack for financial investments. Oh, if you guys please, if you have any hookups or connections with life insurance, please, please. I've been getting some pretty ridiculous quotes, and obviously depends on the rate that you want. If you want like a $2 million, $3 million, $4 million policy. But no, it's nothing one of those. I don't understand it all, like, to its entirety yet, but for the most part, I do understand most of it. So please, if you guys have any hookups or any connections, your boy will really appreciate it. Also, if there's anyone out there who has any connections with immigration or helping to get green cards, I would love to help make my mom a U.S. citizen. Finally, she's been here for years. And if we could just have that, if I could just have that, that'd be like a dream come true. Because then it makes my life a lot easier in terms of helping and taking care of mom. You know, so please, please. Whatever you, don't kill me on the price, please. I know I made some champ money, but I ain't rich yet. I'm doing okay, but I ain't rich yet. But anyone who could help with that, that would be greatly appreciated, please. So if you could drop a comment, I'm definitely going to be checking out the comments for this, like, first couple of days. I know I'm going to get a lot of clown emojis, so it's going to be pretty fun sifting through that and telling people I love dogs and I love cats because it's just what I do. Okay, so the UFC is actually back. We got a great card. This is actually ABC2, and Kevin Holland is stepping up to the plate, taking on Marvin Vettori in a fight that could put him right back into title contention, which is weird because if Holland does beat Vettori, which is a very tall task because he's been looking like a man on fire of late, And so was Holland until we kind of realized, like, the guy kind of just chills out too much, even when things are getting serious and he could possibly win. He kind of just almost goofs off too much. You know, so when we see that and you see a matchup with Marvin, who's, you know, kind of no nonsense once he's in there, which most fighters are, Kevin Holland's just a special individual, which I like. I can appreciate because it's pretty hilarious. Brunson beat Holland. So if Holland beats Vettori, we have ourselves quite the conundrum here in this little circle of life where I think by default, Brunson would have to leapfrog Kevin Holland because he has the common win over it. Well, not a direct head-to-head win over him. Marvin Vettori, like I said, been looking great as of late. Took on Jack Hermanson and pretty much as one-sided as it can get. Start to slow down a little bit. This is going to be a five-round fight, so it's going to be interesting to see how this one goes. I don't know if Kevin Holland's a five-round fighter. It doesn't look like he doesn't cut that much weight. So he comes in underweight, under 185 all the time. He could make 170, but he chooses not to. Super tall, super lanky. His reach, 81 inches, which is why he was able to hit Jacare with that ridiculous punch off of his back, that right hand that cracked him, then sits up and then just knocks him out. Dazes him, I should say, and then jumps up and just finishes him, puts him away. So, very interesting one. Marvin Vettori is one of those guys, I just don't know what he's, like what his strong point is. He's just so good in every single aspect of the sport. Besides jiu-jitsu, I can't say he's like a great jiu-jitsu guy because I haven't really seen much of his BJJ game on bottom or even on top control. But he's competent with the wrestling. He has quality striking. He's a sharp southpaw. Hits that left cross, which is pretty much like a laser. And he's 16-3-1, 27 years old. I think Holland is also 27. And his last fight with Hermanson was December of 2020. Wow. So not too long ago, but, you know, some time has passed. And it's going to be interesting to see where he's at now in terms of his skill set. I want to see what his reach was. 74. My reach is 71, so let's put that in perspective. Marvin Vettori is 74, stretching, and then Kevin Holland's 81, stretching even more. So that should be an interesting fight. I can't really call this one, man. I can see Vettori just coming out and just trying to be the bully, but he can't just get reckless and run into the reach advantage of Kevin Holland because, like I said, he's got those go-go gadget arms. He slipped a couple times in that octagon. Hopefully this one's actually going to be, is it in Florida? I think it might be back in the octagon. Yes, this is in Vegas. UFC Vegas 23. So the cage is super slippery. You even watched that fight with Holland and Brunson. There's a couple of takedown attempts that Brunson was sliding on and even Kevin Holland kind of sliding all over the place. It's just one of those things, man. People have to make adjustments. I've been very vocal about it. It even seemed like Sean O'Malley made some adjustments. Someone even messaged me that he said something. Someone said something to his coach or he said something to his coach. And he had the ankle slippers on, which I'm not sure if he wore that before. He probably did. I just don't remember, which is like the Muay Thai ankle sleeves. But he didn't. He wasn't like. He's a stationary fighter, but he's not. It doesn't need to push off all that much to get what he needs to get done accomplished. It's just a different style where like a guy like Jan just stands there blocking defensively. Then he steps forward, boom, 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 throws his combinations or his kicks. Where a guy who throws a lot of head kicks or even if you throw front kicks and you lean back or your body weight's going backwards and you lean back and you're on that front, that one foot, it makes it a little bit easier for you to slip and lose your footing because of the way you're trajecting your strikes. So grapplers, we've seen grapplers who keep their hips way too far and they push off. They need to get their legs in closer with them so that they can get a little bit more power. You need your weight underneath you. You need your feet underneath you so you can have center of gravity underneath you so you can push through. Now, because it's slippery. If it's not slippery and you can get some static friction, you can lean, keep your feet all the way back, use the ground to stick and almost like anchor your feet in and drive your shoulder into them in the cage and really keep someone pinned. That's what I do. That's my style. I can see Vettori utilizing that against Kevin Holland. The only difference is, like I said, with the slipperiness of the cage, he might just get in close, get his hips underneath him, try to keep him, mirror his hips, land that straight cross when he can. But again, Holland, he throws punches from these weird angles, karate chops, these sidekicks and stuff like that now that he's been utilizing. He's good on the feet, man. We saw against Brunson, he stung him a couple of times. But if he could keep this fight standing, which Vettori might invite, he's not a grappler like Brunson is. But if Vettori has some trouble, he is a strong dude, and we could see him change up the game plan and make this a little bit of a different type of fight to just get the W. And get that rematch with Israel Adesanya. I think that's how he says it. Adesanya. This next one, Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef. This should be a fun fight. Sadiq is a tough dude. I think he had his one stiff test when it came to Andre Feely. I think it was a 29-28, maybe 30-27, but it was competitive, which is what we wanted to see, like how he does with someone who's a little bit more of a veteran, and we got those answers. He fought him last year, January of 2021, Andre Feely, so this is his first return back. And the same thing with Arnold Allen, who hasn't fought in what feels like an eternity as well. I don't know where he's been this entire COVID. He's 16-1, 27 years old, he's 5'8". A reach of 70 inches, and he last fought Nick Lentz in January of 20 last year as well. And Sadiq, he is 27 as well, 5'9 with a 71-inch reach. Now, some other fun fights. Kyle Daukaus has a brother also in the UFC. He fought for Cage Fury, CFFC Championships. He's 10-1, 6'3". His opponent, I don't even know how to say this, so I'm not even going to butcher it. The Black Wolf, this should be an interesting fight. All these guys, man, Eagles MMA, he's a Khabib affiliated guy, but Mahakala, all right, Russia. I thought I used to know how to say that, but I guess I don't. But this guy is on fire right now, record of 13-0. Decision, choke, punches, choke, decision, punches, punch to the body, decision, ground and pound, rear naked choke. Ooh, this could be one of those fights that, like the next coming of the next guy who's going to be next up in line at this middleweight division. Daukaus is 28 years old, so that should be a fun fight. I don't know who to lean towards. Daukaus has looked great. He has one blemish on his record. Let me check and see how he actually lost that one to Brendan Allen by decision. So we do know he could potentially lose by decision to a guy like Kurzivriev, the Black Wolf. We just called the Black Wolf. Yeah. Next up, Sam Alvey versus Julian Marquez. Fun fight. Julian Marquez, I would like to follow up and see whatever happened with him and Miley Cyrus, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and see how things are going. He beat Maki Pitolo in a crazy, I would say, comeback fight, because it looked like Maki was going to run away with that one. The only thing that was scaring me but with the Maki fight, Pitolo was getting caught in a bunch of submission attempts. Not a bunch, a couple, after dominating the ground control and even the striking for quite some time, and then getting threatened with these chokes and losing position. And then eventually, enough was enough. Julian Marquez was able to slap one on the anaconda choke and put him away in the third round at 4 minutes and 17 seconds, which I think is closing in. He would have won 29-28 if he was able to survive that for about 43 more seconds. Sam Alvey, we all know him. Very awkward, super awkward style. 33-14-1. How old is he now? 34 years old, 76-inch reach. He is on a 1-2-3-4 fight losing skid. His last win was over Gian Vellante, and that was a split decision win back in 2018 in June. So this one, after he beat Vellante, he lost to Nogueira. He lost to Jimmy Crute. And both of those were finishes. Then he lost to Abreu by unanimous decision. And then he lost to Ryan Spann by split decision. And then he had a split draw to Daun Jung, which was actually a really fun fight, which I thought he was about to get knocked out multiple times, but then came back and was able to hurt Jung. So this one is very interesting, because Sam Alvey's always a gamer. He's always there to put a guy's lights out. He has that awkward check right hook that he does, kind of like that 3-2 that 2-3 combination that he does, and it's kind of like he just he catches guys coming in. He's a good counter striker. Everyone knows what's coming, but he manages to always land and connect that strike all the time. Nina Ansaroff versus Mackenzie Dern. This should be a fun one. Ansaroff, I believe, coming back from pregnancy, if I remember correctly. 2019 was her last fight to Tatiana Suarez. Oh, I fought on that card. That was Chicago. UFC 238. Is that one down here? No, it's upstairs. I haven't seen her in a while, so it's going to be interesting to see how she does against Mackenzie Dern, who's actually been a little bit more active since the birth of her child. She is on a 3-fight win streak. The last one losing to Amanda Ribas, a fellow Brazilian. She beat Hannah Cyphers right after by knee bar, Ronda Marcos by armbar, both in round one, and then beat Verna Jendroba. Oh, I remember that fight. That was a crazy one. I thought she actually lost. Not by much, but I thought she actually was. I thought she was on the wrong side of that decision for that fight. But she got the job done. Now she's got 3 in a row. It's going to be a huge opportunity for her to propel forward back into that title talk situation. This is a big high-profile fight for the strawweight division, and I'm looking forward to see who gets their hand raised in this one, because Nina was right on the cusp if she was able to beat Tatiana Suarez. She came up short in that one, so this is a good opportunity for her to bounce back against a fighter who's on a 3-fight winning streak. Now we got Mike Perry taking on Daniel Rodriguez. This should be a fun fight. Both guys come to bang. I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's just going to be a fun fight. Mike Perry, married, has a kid now. The whole craziness. I don't know if he's married again, actually, to that new girl he's with. But I know he's dating her. I thought they were engaged. I could be completely wrong. I have no idea. You know, I try to stay away from that stuff because I don't really give a shit. Either way, this is going to be a fun fight because, like I said, they both bring it. We all know the violence that Mike Perry brings. So it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches this one. Danny Rodriguez, who trains with Cowboy Cerrone from time to time, at least I've seen him down in Vegas at the UFCPI with him. Seems like they're pretty cool friends. I'm not sure if he's one of the Barnier guys who trains over there, but I know he brings it. And this one should be fireworks at 170. Joe Selecki taking on Jim Miller. This should be a good one. This fight card has 15 fights on it. As long as none of them get pulled or scratched, it should be starting early, as far as I know. Prelims, Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Oh, wow, that's early. Yeah, so there's a lot of fun fights on this card. Scott Holtzman is back fighting Gamrot. Norma Dumont taking on Blotchfield. Medesi taking on this guy. Is Ignacio Bahamondes. Where's he from? Santiago, Chile. Wow. Wow. Okay. They got one. He's making his UFC debut, I believe. Yes, he is. From the Contender Series. One with a front kick knockout. Should be a fun fight. I take it on a veteran in Medesi. I always say, man, these guys who come in from the Contender Series and then they fight a veteran right out of the gate. Thank God I didn't have to do that because it's not easy. You have to really, really be like sharp, like, because these guys are seasoned. They cut their teeth into the UFC. Well, for me, I fought another debut guy. I was supposed to fight Lucas Martin, who was a super tough dude. And I thought that, you know, there's a good potential I could lose this fight. Short notice. Big guy coming down to 135. He used to fight at 45. He used to fight at 55. Came down to one, and he had success. And then coming down to 135, I'm like, yo, this guy's tall. I might have my hands full. I got to really be on my P's and Q's. But this could be the one that could take my O when I was 8-0. But I can bounce back. In a fight, Cody Gibson won that fight and rattled off 3 more after that, winning 4-0 before losing my first 1-2 in the UFC. So, again, going back to the Contender Series, like, those guys come up on these circuits where the regional promotions, where they're not the most seasoned, but you see promotions like Cage Fury, where you got some of these guys who are beating the best guys or fighting the best up-and-coming prospects, like Joe Selecki fighting Nicholas Mata. Nicholas Mata actually beat Joe Selecki. Joe Selecki is in the UFC a couple fights later. He lost one fight after beating Joe Selecki and then rattled off, I think, 2 or 3 more wins after that. So he's in a position where he possibly wins one more. Maybe he's in the UFC, or he gets a short notice call up, or he gets on the Contender Series. So that's where things are at, man. It's just so competitive with some of these promotions where, you know, these guys are cutting their teeth in and getting seasoned experience, which they need to compete at a UFC level with the best of the best guys in the world. This guy, Ignacio, I don't know where else he fought besides that. He's 11-3, so he's taking some licks, man. I don't recognize any of these names because, again, I'm an East Coast guy, so I don't really know any of these guys on the regional circuit because I don't remember ever seeing these guys' name before. But he fought for LFA, which we know LFA is a tough promotion. He won over Chris Brown, split decision, and then won at the Contender Series. So he lost, then fought Chris Brown at LFA, and then got a shot at the Contender Series, which is pretty crazy. Like, you just never know when your shot or time might come. Now we got Yogan DeCastro. He's back. I don't know who this guy is. He's fighting Danho, Man Mountain, Jairus Danho, who's 5-1-1, who's from Syria, Al-Malikia, fighting out of Germany. Ooh, he's 37 years old. Wow. He's heavyweight division. A lot of these guys are a lot older. DeCastro is 33. I'm pulling for DeCastro. He's a tough dude. And a really nice guy, man. You know, I actually met him in person. This next one, Bantamweight, should be fun. Jack Shore, 13-0, taking on Hunter Azur. Should be a very, very fun and competitive fight. Jack Shore is a super slick grappler from Cage Warriors. He's 5'8", 26 years old, 71-inch reach. Excuse me. His last fight over Aaron Phillips, he choked him out second round. Nolan Hernandez choked him out in the third round. And Cage Warriors, before that, he got a rear naked choke in the third round as well. He's on a sick run right now. Beat Von Lee, who's a UFC veteran. Any of these other names that I recognize? No. All guys overseas at Cage Warriors. So Jack Shore, super, super tough dude. Taking on Hunter Azor, who is 9-1. 5'8 with a 70.5-inch reach. He's 29 years old. Wrestler, my brother, fun fact, was actually supposed to fight him. When I was fighting Rafael Sunsal, I was going to fly out for the weekend to go corner him for that one and then get him one more amateur fight before he went pro so that he could get a little bit more experience and get his feet wet again so that he could get comfortable competing because he hadn't competed in like 4 years and New Jersey wasn't going to let him do it because they said he hasn't fought in a while. So, he doesn't have any experience because he was a three-time national qualifier, but he never actually placed. He always came one win away from being an All-American. So they didn't grant him the pass he needed to compete as a pro. So he needs to get one more amateur win. But we were able to bypass that somehow. I forgot what was all the hoops we jumped through. It might have actually been PA that wasn't going to allow it. And he did make his debut in New Jersey, so maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was PA. We were trying to get him a fight and just didn't work out. Because nobody would fight him. Nobody would take the fight because they knew he was a wrestler. They knew he was my brother. And then, yeah, whatever. He was supposed to fight that kid. Never took the fight. And then things fell through. And he was able to help me out for my fight for Sun Tzu. Now, his last win was over Cole Smith, a decision. And before that, he lost to Brian Kelleher, got a big left hook and then a couple of hammer fists. And before that, he beat Bracatona by decision and Chris Alcon on Dana White Contender Series. I'm always a big fan of the bantamweights. Now, Jack Shore is a very tough grappler. Hunter Azor is a very tough grappler too, but he's more of a wrestler. Heavy pressure, heavy hitter, heavy handed. Jack Shore is tall, lanky, friends with Brett Johns, trains with him as well. He's 5'8". I feel like he's a little taller than that, at least from the pictures I saw standing next to Brett Johns. So I think he might actually be like 5'9", maybe 5'10". And who else do we have on this? Jordan Griffin is back. Taking on Luis Saldana, 14-6. Man, there's so many new names. He's off the Contender Series, that's why. Okay. Because I'm just like, dude, I don't know any of these guys. Impa Kasanganai is back, taking on Sasha Palatnikov. Now, fun fact about this guy, Palatnikov, Sasha, he was training down at Syndicate. I don't know if he's still there. Sees me, meets me, all of a sudden, big fan. And then after the PDON fight and during the buildup for the PDON fight, jumped the bandwagon to PDON, like really rode his coattails, which I was not confused, but I was surprised because I'm like, you were just asking me for like pictures and all this stuff and saying you were a fan and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're also a fighter in the UFC. And then here you are in the comments section saying all this kind of nonsense slash trash talk, which I was just perplexed because I'm like, man, people are so fake. And this is why I am the way I am, because I'm like, yo, you can't put anything past anybody. People are just like, they're just weird, man. And I don't know if he was from Russia or something. Obviously, he has a weird like Russian name. Says he was born in Hong Kong. I have no freaking clue. But let's go, Kasang and I. Put his lights out, because I would like to be in the comments for that one. but he did have a crazy fight against Louis Cosi, the guy who fought in the Contender Series, and he had a massive brawl with him. Cosi faded in the third round, and Sasha was able to get the knockout victory, TKO victory, via like exhaustion, obviously punches, but via like exhaustion after his last failed takedown attempt. Kasang and I, 8-1, everyone knows that highlight reel knockout loss he had. He's 5'11", 27 years old, still a young dude. He lost to Joaquin Buckley with this jumping, spinning back kick, the one that looks like it was straight out of a movie. Before that, he beat Maki Patolo in his UFC debut after coming off the Contender Series. So this is a good fight, good opportunity for him. And this should be a good competitive matchup between two really good guys. Sasha is very tough. I think he punches a little bit awkward when he throws his straight punches. It looks weird. And you guys could go check that out for yourself, because maybe I'm just being harsh about it. But it's obviously straight, but it looks like it comes at like a weird angle. Or maybe he's just standing weird and it just looks weird to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But that's the way it looks to me. Other than that, I'm going to get this up for you guys right now. And then I'm going to try to play some golf. Hopefully I can. I don't know if my neck is going to allow it, to be honest. And I don't know if I should be doing anything. Like, even when I said I did the push-ups, like, sitting here hurts right now. It actually, fuck, it kills. Oh, geez, man. Like I was saying, like, I don't know if me doing push-ups is a good thing or a bad thing. Like, testing out my arm strength, should I just completely rest and let it unpinch, if that's what it really is, and try to get the most out of it that I can in terms of it getting back to its full strength. But I do feel stronger. Like, I can flex. Before, I felt like I couldn't even do that, man. So scary. Again, looking forward to the rematch. It's going to be a fun fight. For the people who said I'm ducking a rematch and all that, you guys are stupid. Stupid. But it should be fun. It would be nice if we could do it sometime in July, so I could somewhat enjoy the summer in Long Island. And maybe if they even put us on the McGregor card with Dustin Poirier, that would be a fun time. Really, really fun time. Especially for pay-per-view. Sign me up. Other than that, man, as always, thank you guys for always tuning in. If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. We'll spin it back, baby. See you guys later. I'm going to go get the rest of my day going and try to be productive. Again, if you guys have any connections with any lawyers, immigration lawyers, that would be greatly appreciated. Please, if there's any way. My mom doesn't have her paperwork or documents showing how she got into the country, even though she came on a plane from Canada, and somehow, some way, they lost all the records of it. But they have everything else. It's the most bizarre thing. It almost seems like something was like paid for to pull that off, kind of thing. I don't know. It's very tricky, very weird. And I don't know what the right thing is for her to do next, so she can finally get a green card after like 30 plus years. You know, so that'd be cool. And talk to you guys later. Stay safe and stay blessed. Peace.
That's the show. You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.